Thank you for that. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. I was making preparation for this passage of Scripture and originally had in my mind that I would be looking at Proverbs 1, verses 7 to 9. And I think I'm going to just look at the first half of verse 7. But I'll read the 7th verse. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. We just looked last week and we saw where the Scriptures ending up with what we had considered. Verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear. I'll tell you why a wise man will hear, because God gives him ears to hear. Wise man, a wise man. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Not wise considering the wisdom of this world, because the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Men think that they're wise. Scripture says, this man, wise man, he will hear. He'll hear. He'll attain unto wise counsel. Good advice. That's what that means. Good advice. I'm going to give you some good advice. And the interpretation, the eloquent speech of it that sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord spoke to His disciples in parables. He always preached in parables. I said this, every Scripture, all Scripture is parable until the Lord opens your eyes to see them. That's why, that's why men can stand in pulpits now and they preach out of the very same passages, Freddie, that we preach out of. They don't see Christ in them. They don't. John 3:16. Men say that just proves God loves everybody, wants everybody to be saved, and He's made salvation possible. I can understand how men can read that and think that. I understand that. But until God opens your eyes to see what is said there, you don't see that. It's a parable. Parable. Why do you speak in parables, Lord? Because it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto them it's not given. That's why. Oh, the words of the wise. Understand. Proper parable. And the interpretation, verse 6, in their dark sayings. Then Solomon, and really the mouthpiece of the Spirit of God is what it is. The means. This is God speaking here. The Spirit of God speaking. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I want to talk for just a minute on the fear of the Lord. And this is what it comes down to. It means reverence. But let me tell you the word that comes to my mind. Respect. Respect. The fear of the Lord. I just want us to consider for just a minute the respect of God. God who is due respect. The fear of the Lord. Here's the first thing I know about it. The fear of the Lord. The respect of Almighty God. Is not natural to the old man. Psalm 34:11, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Fear, respect, reverence for Almighty God is not natural to man as he is born in Adam. Respect of God is truly protection and safety. This is safety. Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord," Christ Himself, the angel of the covenant, the messenger of God, the angel of the Lord, "encampeth round about them that fear them," fear Him, "and delivers them." Fear the Lord. Respect. Respect for God is the evidence of a hearing ear. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, they're both of the Lord. To be able to hear. If you have a hearing ear this morning to hear the gospel of Christ, you hear the voice of the Master. I said last Wednesday evening as we met together to observe the Lord's table, I think more and more about what I heard Brother Scott and Brother Henry say. We are no closer, you're never nearer to true worship than when you meet together around the Lord's table. And to be able to meet together with God's people and to know that He is in the midst. Two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, "I'm in the midst of you." And to know that He's in the midst, I'm convinced. I am absolutely convinced He's here. Carl, I think that the knowledge of His presence is what makes me so anxious. Scripture says, "Be anxious for nothing," but I tell you what, you stand right here and you see things differently. Fear the Lord is the evidence of a new ear, a hearing ear. Psalm 66:16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, that reverence God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." Let me tell you what God's done for me. It's what Brother Scott told me when I first came here. He said, "When you stand up," he said, "you tell the people what God's done for you." And he said, that'll be enough. Because when you start telling people what the Lord's done for you, you're going to start declaring eternal election. You're going to tell them what you are by nature. And you're going to tell them how the Lord died for me. You're going to tell them how the Spirit of God called you out of darkness. You'll preach. You tell them what the Lord's done for you. The fear of the Lord, the respect of God, reveals the presence of Christ. Psalm 85:9, "Surely His salvation," Christ, "is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land." I'm telling you, there are a few places, and I'm so thankful, where God has raised up some respect for Him. I'm not. I could go off on a tangent about all this other mess that people are talking about. I'm talking about there's a few places, and Lord's given me by His grace the ability to know. There's some places I wouldn't pull my car off the road to drive in to listen to what somebody had to say. But there's some places that I know and I'm convinced that God's raised up some men and given them a heart and a respect for God Almighty. And I want to hear what God has to say through those men. I want to hear what the Lord has to say through His servants. The fear of the Lord, the respect of God Almighty, that is the desire of the regenerate. You that know Him, you desire to show Him respect. Psalm 86:11, teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. Lord, cause me to respect You. Lord, cause me to have a heart that desires nothing else. I want to be respectful. I want to be respectful. I do. And it grieves me when I see I'm not. Thanks be unto Him that walked in absolute respect. When I think about Him who walked in absolute obedience and respect, and His obedience is charged to me. And God Almighty looks upon me and says, well done. The fear of the Lord is a commandment to be kept by God's people. That's a commandment. Keeping the commandments of God. I've been working on that. He that keepeth my commandments. He that loveth me keeps my commandments. I want to deal with that. I don't want to get into it right now. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not talking about doing that which justifies a man before God. I'm not talking about that at all. But I'm going to tell you that those that fear God keep His commandments. And I'll just suffice it to say, we'll... The fear of the Lord, the respect of God, is a commandment that is to be kept. Psalm 89:7, God is greatly to be feared, respected, reverenced in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord reveals that God has shown mercy. A man that reverences God. I'm not talking about lip service either. Because let me tell you something. You don't know my heart. And I don't know yours. And I'm talking about something that only God Almighty knows. You know something about it for each one of you, but fear the Lord. Respect. Reveals, if there's any respect for God, reveals that God has shown mercy to you. Psalm 103:13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, that reverence Him, that respect Him. God pities them. Has mercy on them. Psalm 130:4 says, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Fear the Lord. I wrote down a few things that are evident. Now that's what Scripture has to say about the respect of God. Respect. Number one, Now, I'm just talking about this is the way we all are. Respect. We respect or we fear that which is sacred. Let me tell you what I mean when I say that. I mean sacred. You say, well, that's a good biblical word. Sacred. Sacred. We respect that which is sacred. One of a kind. That's what I mean. One of a kind. I've seen pictures. I don't know if I've ever seen anything. I guess I have. I've seen things that are one of a kind. There's not but one Eiffel Tower. I've seen pictures of it. I think that's, you know, there's not a bunch of them. That's unusual. Holy. Holy. That's what it means. Sacred. Holy. We respect or fear or reverence that which is one of a kind. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord. And there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. I encompass thee, though thou hast not known me. Now you think about how many gods this world sets forth. Oh, well, there's Mohammed and there's this guy. And the Lord says, I am the capital L-O-R-D. I am Jehovah. There's none else. Whenever God Almighty gives a man respect for God, there is one God. One God. You say, I believe there's just one God. Is His gospel, is His assembly, is His people worthy of your respect? Or do you have another God that you give yourself to? I'm talking about whatever a man serves, that is his God. There's one God. One God. The fear of the Lord, the respect of God Almighty. To whom a man gives himself, that's his God. We respect that which is sacred. Almighty God is sovereign. He's all the hope, the security of His people. And my eternal security rests in Him who pledges His strength and mercy to me. Turn with me to John. John 6:63. John 6:63. The Lord is preaching and He says, John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Lord Neil, like you just said, that ought to put an end to free willism. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh has no profit to it. The words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man has the ability to come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Boy, there must have been some that had a problem with God's sovereignty. From that time, many of His disciples, many of those that said, They followed him. He went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now here is the sacredness. Here's the sacredness of Christ. Here's the respect. Here's the fear of the Lord right here. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Every time you see the word Christ, that speaks of His humanity and His deity in one. Christ. God in the flesh. So we respect that which is one of a kind, sacred, holy. Secondly, you respect, you just right now, I'm talking about in every aspect of life, and especially before God. Let me tell you what you respect. You respect that which is fair. You respect that which is fair. Lord said, Isaiah 45:21, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me, a just God, lawful, correct, and right. Let me ask you something. Do you have any respect whatsoever? A judge. Let's say a judge in the town. Do you have any respect for a judge, a boss, somebody you work for? Have you got any respect for that one? It's not fair. He's not fair. There's the evidence. Showed favoritism to his buddies. He just, well, they belong to the same club he does. No wonder I didn't get it. He just, you have no respect for him. None. But I'll tell you this. You reverence, or you respect. I have respect for one that is fair. He's fair. May not like his decision that he made concerning that, but you know what? Fair. I'm a just God. Thirdly, we respect that which is faithful. Revelation 19:11, he that sat upon him, that white horse, was called faithful and true. Faithful. Persuaded of the reliability. He's reliable. He's faithful. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You know, boy, when we talk about the frailty of this life, knowing that we're going to leave this world. Unless the Lord returns, we're going to leave this world. We're going to die. We're going to die. And you know, it's not until a man is brought to realize something of the frailty of his life, and you begin to ask yourself this, wherein does my hope lie? Do you know the only thing you've got, you that believes? Let me tell you what you've got. You've got God's Word. You've got God's Word. That's all you got. You have nothing else. Whatever you do, don't you put any faith in what you've done. Because I'm telling you, it's not going to stand in that day. He's faithful. Paul said, I'm persuaded And boy, that right there, you can settle down. I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What have you committed, Paul? My safekeeping. My eternal soul. Without me, you can do nothing, the Lord said. Let me ask you this. Do you absolutely believe that He who chose you, He that redeemed you, He that lived for you, He that represents you, He that says, I'll bring you to myself, do you absolutely believe that He's able? Then you have respect for Him. I tell you another thing we believe and have respect for. You have respect for that which is strong. You respect a strong, well, in any situation, you respect someone that is mighty. It's mighty. Hebrews 7, let me read this to you, 24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost, that is, forevermore, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save them to the uttermost. Psalm 24:8, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. That right there eliminates everybody but one. Don't fear, don't respect, don't have reverence to them that can't get the job done. He said, but rather, you have respect for, you have reverence for Him that's able to both destroy soul and body in hell. You best reverence Him. In closing, we love those we respect. We love them. And I'll tell you, we long to be with those that we respect. And we stay with those that we respect. Do you know what the problem is? With the wicked, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Man by nature goes through this world, and he has this attitude. I can do what I want to do concerning God. When I want to do it and how I want to do it. And in fact, if I don't do it some particular way, it doesn't really make any difference. And the next thought that he has in his mind is just whatever he thinks in his mind is going to be okay. Do you know why? Do you know why men and women can show such disrespect for the worship of God? There's no fear of God. They don't fear God. Do you know why a man, a woman, will not cast themselves upon the mercy of God? No fear of God. No reverence Do you know why a man or woman will believe that he is the author and finisher of his faith? By his own free will, by his own works of righteousness, and will walk in this world truly believing in his own dead heart, I have justified myself before God. At hell, I'm in agreement. I've settled this thing about hell. Do you know why? Because there's no respect for God. He doesn't love Him. He doesn't desire to be with Him. He doesn't need Him. Oh, but to those that God Almighty has given a heart after Christ, they're going to say like David says, "Whom have I in heaven but You? Lord, if I have not You, I have nothing." When You walk out of this world, let me ask You something. What are You trusting? Are You trusting what You've done? I'm just honest with You. I am just flat out honest with You. I made a profession of faith when I was 9 years old. I did. I'm telling you, this is a personal word of testimony. Reason I went down, because my cousin Larry walked down. Calvary Baptist Church, Alexander, Louisiana. 9 years old. I think it's 9, maybe 11, whatever. He went down. I went down because he went down. And that preacher told me, because I prayed the sinner's prayer, he had to tell me what it was. I quoted it after he did. He baptized me. And I truly believe in my heart, well, I've done my obligation for God. Now, I'll be honest with you. After that, I didn't really want to go. I didn't want to go. Besides that, once saved, always saved. Ain't that right? I went down when I was 9. I mean, how many times do you think I need to do it? I got to feeling bad about it a few years later, so I decided to rededicate my life. I went down a rededication. Some of you have never heard of that term. Some of you have. All in the world it is, I've decided to clean up my life. I better go ahead and make this thing right. You know, in fact, maybe I wasn't sincere when I was 9, but I will be now. And I tried to drum up some sincerity. But you know what? I still didn't have any respect of God. I didn't. It was all based on what I did. It was all based on how I felt. It was all based on the words that I prayed. Did I pray the right words, Gary? Did I say it the right way? Lord, I've sinned. No, I didn't say that sincerely enough. Let me do it like this. Lord, I've sinned. Maybe that was better. It was all based on me. My rededication, my profession of faith, my baptism. And you know why it was all about me? Because I had no respect for God. When Almighty God grants repentance, there will be a respect for God. And I'm telling you, everything else that you think is important will play second fiddle. I'm telling you. Now, you can try to fool yourself, you can try to fool me, you can try to fool anybody you want to, but I'm telling you, unless Almighty God gives a man a respect for God, it'll be just a token, outward lip service. Do you need Him? Do you need Him? May Almighty God have mercy on our souls for Christ's sake.